is alive. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy? None beside. To your heart, loving the world, hating the dark. I wanna see dry bones living again, singing as one. Hallelujah. Oh.
Thank you, team. Oh. Now, if you noticed the last couple of weeks, I've actually gotten out on time. Been done on time. Hopefully I can continue that trend today, but we'll see. The Edge Youth Group is going up for Edge Sunday, so they can depart. John, you get them for not yelling out. But anyway, in our discipleship study, we've been in this for a long time, talking all the big subjects, answering all the big questions, what we believe, why we believe it. A disciple should know what we believe and why we believe it, to be able to help other people know. We're told to do this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense, a reason for the hope that is in you. We should be able to talk to people about the truth of God, about the Word, especially about Jesus Christ. And that's the subject we're talking about. For the last 9 weeks, we have made the case for Christ. 9 weeks, we've talked about all the evidence and why a person should believe in Jesus Christ. But what does it mean to believe? Because there's much confusion on this simple word, believe. Today, we're going to look at that. How to truly believe in Jesus. There's confusion outside the church, and there's confusion inside the church. Last week, if you remember, we had a video of Oprah. And she was saying that God is not someone to believe in, but to feel, to experience. You don't believe in God. You don't have to believe in Jesus. Let's see what the Bible actually says about this. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who, what? In Him is not condemned, but he who does not is condemned already, because he is not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, the word believe is used 148 times in the New Testament. 58 times it's used in the Gospel of John. John wants his believers to understand who they should believe in. That's why he wrote the Gospel of John. And at the end he says, that you may know on what name to be saved. Who you need to believe in. And he uses that word 58 times. What word is it that he uses when he writes it in the Greek? It's pistio, to believe. It's to have faith. To believe is to have faith. In or upon or respect to a person or thing. That is to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being, to Christ. Believe, commit to. So when the Bible says whosoever believes, it says to have faith. Now this word, this Greek word, it comes from another Greek word designated G4102. And wow! For the first time in 11 years, I pulled a Floyd. All right, here we go. I always turn that thing on silent. I'll see you guys on the pickleball court. Okay, it comes from the Greek word 4102, which is pistis, which means faith. What does this pistis mean? It's persuasion. That is credence. Persuasion. You're persuaded to believe. Credence. You accept something as true. But it's this faith. It's this has moral conviction. So when you have faith, there's this moral conviction from within the heart. It's not just believing it up here, it's have a moral conviction. What you have faith in causes this moral conviction within you. And this word, pistis, it comes from a primary verb, patho. To convince. You're convinced. By argument, make a case for. That's what we've been doing for the last 9 weeks. Making the argument to convince people of the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, when you see John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes. We can understand now what this word means fully, correctly. To believe is to be convinced by sound evidence, to have faith in Jesus Christ, which produces a moral conviction within the heart and soul of a person. To truly believe in Jesus means to have a belief so strong that it affects you at your moral center. Now, we know we have a sin nature and our morals have been corrupted, but we still have God's law written on our hearts, and when we hear the gospel, when we believe, it affects us at our moral center, the mind and the heart. And this strong belief causes action within the person to act on this strong belief. You see, when we, whosoever believes, when we believe, it can be up here, but it becomes true belief, faith, when we act upon it. When what we believe causes action in us. You guys demonstrated both those aspects when you came in the sanctuary today. You believed those pews would hold you. But you showed faith, action in that belief when you sat down in them, when you entrusted them to hold you. And that's what we're supposed to do with Jesus. To truly believe in Jesus is to have a faith that causes the person to respond correctly to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to Jesus himself. And this, and what is the very first correct response to believing in Jesus? Well, Jesus clarifies it for us in Mark 1:15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now we know what believe means now. It's a belief so strong that you have faith, action. You act on what you believe and it affects you at your moral center. But what does repent mean? Most common understanding, it's a turning from sin, which is part of it. But there's actually more to repentance, to repent. Now let's look at the word repent. Metanoeo, to think differently. Or afterwards, that is, reconsider. Morally, to feel compunction. Repent. Now, what's compunction? It's a feeling of guilt. It's a feeling of guilt that prevents or follows the doing of something bad. All right, let's go back to the definition. To think differently, or afterwards, that is, reconsider your actions of what you've done or maybe what you're about to do, to have guilt over doing the bad, to repent. Many understand the term repentance simply to turning from sin. Regretting sin and turning from it are related. It's part of repentance, but it's not the precise meaning of the word. In the Bible, the word repent means to think differently, to change one's mind. Before a sinner hears the gospel, most of them think, what? I'm a pretty good person. We ask people. We've seen it on Ray Comfort and online. Most people say, I think I'm a pretty good person. But after hearing the gospel, you should change your mind on that. We are all sinners, separated from God. After hearing the gospel, you should have a different view about your sin. After hearing the gospel, you should now look differently and think differently about Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin. Your mind has been changed by the truth of the gospel. Repentance is this shift in how you've been thinking. Maybe you've been thinking a certain way all your life. And now you're thinking completely different. Now, after hearing the gospel, the sinner realizes their need for Jesus. They've heard the truth. They see their great need for a Savior. Their mind has been changed towards themselves, how they see themselves, how they see the sin in their lives, and how they see the Savior. Now they're thinking differently. There's a guilt for the sin. There's a shame because of the sin. And most people, when you feel guilty about something, what do you want to do? You want to turn from that, what's causing guilt. You want to stop feeling guilty. And that's why Jesus offers us forgiveness, cleansing, a washing of the heart and the soul. You see, this is repentance. Repentance. Metanoia. Compunction. It's the guilt. By implication, reversal. It's a decision. Change of mind, change of direction. It leads to a change of life. Now, let's go back to Mark 1:15 when Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. When a person truly believes, then that belief becomes action, faith. And the first action, the first response to truly believing is to have your mind changed about sin, about yourself, and about Jesus. There's a moral conviction. So now we have the mind understanding the truth and the heart understanding, and they're coming together. They're choosing a new course. They're going to go with the change of mind and a change of direction. You're going to turn from sin. You're going to turn to Jesus Christ. Let me show you a simple diagram. To believe means to have faith. Faith is belief in action. So to truly believe, click one, Levi, to truly believe, you're going to faithfully live out your belief. And it starts with being born again. It starts with that moment of repentance. Repentance and believe the gospel. Now, not everyone who believes lives it out. Many believe in Jesus, but do not have faith. Remember, true belief is faith. That's what God's calling you to have when you truly believe. Whosoever believes, it's telling you whoever has faith. How do you know you have faith? Because there's action in your life that acts on what you believe. And the first thing it does is cause repentance. And then a changed life because your mind has been changed on who you are, your sin, and Jesus Christ. And you've decided to go with Him. That's why Jesus clarified. Repent and believe. But for many in the world, believe in Jesus, their belief is not real. Oh, they believe in Him, but not biblical belief. And the Bible points this out. We see this in James chapter 2. James is making the case. There's three ways to believe, to have faith in Jesus. Here's the three. The first one is this. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, believes, but does not have works? Can faith, believing, save him? I was a great example of this. We're not saved by our works. The Bible is very clear. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The works here are not talking about earning salvation. This is showing that there should be a change in you. If you really believe you're going to have faith, you're going to change your mind about sin. You're going to change your mind about yourself. You're going to change your mind about Jesus Christ. You're going to change your mind about everything. And you're going to move in a new direction. And God's going to be able to work in you. He's going to be able to show evidence. I was a prime example of this. I believed in Jesus. You ask me, yeah, I was a Christian. I believed. I grew up in church, right? I said the sinner's prayer. I was baptized as a kid. I grew up in youth group. I grew up in church. And I was the kid that was always sitting in the very back row. Not listening. That was me. How many of you were back there with me? Oh, wow. You guys are bad. I knew about Jesus, sin, judgment, sinners, prayer, baptism. I believed in Jesus, but my belief caused no action in my life. No faith. There was no works. There was no proof that I truly believed. I wasn't convicted about my sin. I had no repentance. I had no desire to turn from sin. I had the exact opposite, to embrace it. I had no desire to turn to Jesus and follow Him. I had my own life to live. I had my own things I wanted to go do. But I was a Christian. I believed in Jesus. I claimed it. And if you asked me back then, I really believed. I believed. But I didn't believe according to Scripture. My faith in Jesus was dead. James 2:17. Thus also faith, belief by itself, that it does not have works, evidence of a true belief, change, is dead. This is the faith I had. There was no moral conviction of my sin. Definitely before God, I could sin. Maybe I didn't want certain people to find out about my sin, like mom and dad. But I had no moral conviction with sin. There was no proof of me believing, truly believing, no repentance, no turning from sin, no change in my life. There was no discipleship. There was no desire to obey Christ. There was no sanctification of the Holy Spirit, which is our guarantee of salvation. My mind had not been changed of who I was. It hadn't been changed about sin. It wasn't changed about Jesus, but I believed in Jesus. I had dead faith. Now, most of these kind of people who have dead faith in Jesus, and there's a lot of them, most of them are found outside the church. They're the ones in your families or your friends that you know about who don't want to be in church. Now, they say they're Christian. They say they believe, but they really don't want to talk about God. They definitely don't want to be part of His church, or they're a church to themselves, or they go find a church on the lake fishing, or they go find a church at the golf course, or they're not usually inside the church. People with dead faith who claim to believe, who claim to be Christian, born again, saved, they're on the outside claiming it, but they don't want to be part of the body. Okay? That's where you find most people with dead faith. Then there's the second kind of faith. James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe that and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? The demons have faith. They know who Jesus is. They truly believe in Jesus. But their belief does not cause them a moral conviction. They don't have faith in Jesus. They know exactly who He is. When He approached them, they would say, Jesus, you Son of God, have you come here to judge us before the time? They knew exactly who He was. They believed Him. But they did not have faith in Him because they had no moral conviction. They did not want to turn from their sin. Now, it says they trembled. They trembled. They had fear of judgment. Yes, they feared His judgment that He did not want to turn from their sin. They said, send us into the pig so we can continue to be evil. You see, there's no repentance here. That's why it's not true belief, not biblical belief. Still no repentance, no moral conviction. They know they're doing evil, and they want to continue in the evil. They just don't want to be judged. Now, there are many men and women like this today. This is why religions exist all over the world. You see, people know, because God has written it on our hearts, that we're not good people. That we've done bad things. And so people want to do religious stuff. They want to do things so they can balance out the evil in their lives with some religious good stuff. So we have all these religions that say, hey, if you do this, 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 and this, then you'll be good. That's what all the religions of the world teach. It's all works-based. It's all, hey, you do this, this, and this, and it takes place through your sin. See, Christianity says you can't do anything to take away your sin. Only Jesus Christ, true belief, true repentance, God will forgive you. And because you're forgiven, then there's some works we can do, but not for salvation. We do the works because we're saved. Complete opposite of all the other world religions. But that's why we have religions. And yes, even Christianity can be turned into a religion. And yes, many people have demonic faith, the faith of demons, inside churches. Isn't that ironic? These you find in the church. The dead faith people you find outside the church. Those who have demonic faith, they believe and they tremble. They believe and they tremble about judgment. But they don't really want to let go of their sin or the idols in their life or control of their life. They want to do what they want to do. But they believe enough to know there's a judgment coming. So, I'll try to balance it out with some religious stuff. I'll attend church. I might even serve in the church, help out in the church. I might be in a church ministry. People with demonic faith. Still just up here, but there's enough fear down here to make them think, well, I better try to balance out with some religious stuff. This kind of person is found in the church, trying to balance out the evil with some good. It's sad. And finally, there's the saving faith of Abraham. It's the only way to believe that actually saves a person. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, that's the only way we can become righteous. We believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. We believe our sin is so bad it's going to send us to hell and judgment. But Jesus came and died, and we believe, and that belief causes us to have faith, which is action. So the first action is we turn from our own way of life. We turn from what we want, and we turn to Jesus Christ, and we receive the gift of righteousness. God puts his righteousness upon us. That's what Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. The Old Testament saints were saved by faith, looking forward to the Messiah. We in the New Testament are saved by faith, looking back to when the Messiah came. Same faith. How do we know Abraham truly believed? Well, the works are there. The evidence is there. He turned from his pagan ways. He changed his mind about God when God came and said, hey, come follow me. I'm going to lead you to a land that's not your own. He left his entire old life. He turned his back on everything he believed before that moment. His mind was changed when it came to God. He followed God. He left his homeland. He was obedient to God. He wasn't perfect at it, but like none of us are, but he tried. His life changed. He grew in faith and obedience as you study his life. And he got to a level that none of us are at. He got to a level, he believed God so much, his faith was so strong, he was able to take his son, Isaac, and do what no parent, well, I'm not going to speak for you. I'm going to speak for myself as a parent. I could not do. I could not do what Abraham was going to do with Isaac. He believed. The works are there. The evidence is there. His life was changed. He was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. You know, many people can say they believe in Jesus. But they have no works. They have no evidence. They're no different than the people out there that they're hanging out with. And in here, they may sound like us and look like us, but there's no real change of mind. There's no change in their heart. And that's why I call these the scariest verses in the Bible, and I've shared them with you before. Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of the Father? To truly believe, to repent, to be born again, to embrace sanctification. Many, Oh, I hate that word. Many will say to me on that day, judgment day, the day when it's too late to get right with God. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? They're in church, aren't they? They're doing some awesome stuff in church. You see, the demonic faith is inside the churches. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, sinfulness, living life for yourself, whole time claiming Jesus. Repentance is more than just acknowledging your sin. It's not just saying sorry for your sin. It's not just trying to do more good than bad. It's not a one-time action when saying a sinner's prayer. It's a complete change of mind. It's your mind completely changing about sin. You no longer want it in your life. Where you used to practice it and run with it and you lived in it, that's who you were. Now you don't want that. Your mind has been changed. You see the sin for what it is. And how sin destroys us and destroys lives, marriages, families, destroys people. Look out on the streets as you drive home. You see, the one who truly believes no longer wants sin in their lives. And they seek, through sanctification of the Holy Spirit, after the second birth, to overcome sin in their lives. To rid their lives of it. But many hold on to their sin. Maybe they keep it secret. They don't want others to see their sin. But they themselves, their mind has not been changed about their sin. Or they don't think their sin is that bad, which means they don't have an understanding of sin and the death of Jesus. Or God is love, so He will overlook my sin. Or if I do enough good works, it'll balance out my sin. They do not believe. They do not understand correctly. And you must understand correctly. You must truly believe, which is to have faith that causes a moral conviction. And the proper response to true faith, truly believe in true faith, is to turn, repent, have your mind change. You're no longer wanting to walk in sin. You're wanting to follow your Lord and Savior. Your mind has been changed. And now your mind aligns to how God thinks about sin. Many people, as it says here, never truly repent. They never truly believe. They never have real faith. These people in church calling Him Lord are saying they think they're not that bad. How do you know? Because they think their works is good enough to get them into heaven. They don't believe correctly about their sin. They don't believe correctly about Jesus. They think they're not that bad. And as long as they've done some good, they should be let in. And Jesus says, depart from me. People have dead faith, faith of demons. Or you can have the saving faith of Abraham. As we close, I'm going to move quickly here. Mark 1, Jesus said, repent and believe. Without repentance, there is no salvation. How do you know you truly believe? Because you'll have a moral conviction that will make you repent. You'll have to change your mind about sin. You'll change your mind about idols in your life. You'll change your mind about yourself and your life. And your mind is changed about Jesus. Jesus is everything. Jesus is the most important. And that's what your life will demonstrate. The scripture is clear. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance is not a work. Some people say, oh, you just have to believe. And that's what's called easy beliefs. Is, oh, I just believe. That's what I had most of my life. And it didn't stop me from being a sinful person. Easy beliefs. You just have to believe. And repentance is a work. No, you don't have to do repentance. How can repentance be a work when it's simply changing your mind? Your mind has been changed because of the truth of the gospel. Now you think differently. That's not a work. It's a correct response to the truth of the gospel. And it produces the faith. Shows the faith. Let me show you quickly how salvation works. John 16, Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is out in the world convicting the world. He has come to convict the world of their sin, of righteousness, of God's righteousness and our lack of it, and the judgment to come. This is what the Holy Spirit does out in the world, but He does it through the church. He does it through us as individuals who go out and share the gospel. That's what we're supposed to be doing as believers. Romans 10 points this out. Paul says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how? Then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Means proclaimer. Doesn't people say, oh, that's just your job, pastor. No, 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 no. This means proclaimer. And every one of us is to proclaim. Romans 10:15. And how shall they proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the gospel of peace. Because we are at odds with God. Remember the sermon? Whose side is God on? We want peace with God. We want to be on His side. The gospel does that. The gospel of peace. Bring glad tidings of good things. So the Holy Spirit, through the church, through disciples, proclaims the gospel truth to people, brings conviction on that person who's hearing it, and the fear of God upon the sinner. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit is using the truth of the gospel through us to bring a person to sorrow, a sinner to reveal their sinful state. A godly sorrow falls on the sinner. Now, the godly sorrow is hard and convicting. It's not soft and fluffy. It doesn't beat around the bush. It comes at the sinner. You're a sinner. You're separated from God. And you're going to be judged by God, period. Hard and convicting. And a good, healthy fear of God. But it's also full of compassion and love and grace. Paul speaks about this godly sorrow that the Holy Spirit brings through us when we share the gospel with people. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces what? Repentance, leading to salvation. So if you truly believe, you're going to be morally convicted. Your mind is changed. You're going to turn from your sin and you're going to turn to Jesus Christ. And whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, godly sorrow begins. The Holy Spirit comes upon the sinner, convicts them of the truth of the gospel that we should be sharing with them. Then they feel this moral compunction, this guilt to turn, to change their mind about their sin, about themselves, and about Jesus Christ. And now they want to follow Jesus Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And this is the moment of free will. The sinner can hear it, be convicted, and ignore it. I ignored the conviction for a long time when Holy Spirit was finally coming after me to save me. I fought it for a long time. You can reject. The sinner can reject and walk away, or the sinner can accept. Be humble and surrender. Starts with a changing of the mind. True repentance is prompted by godly sorrow and it leads to salvation. Salvation leads to a changed life. How do we know it's a changed life? Because your mind has been changed about sin. So now the new life in Christ, you shouldn't want to sin anymore. If you've really been saved, if you truly believe. Let me give you an example. I'll give you two. First one. Luke 19. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. Remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a cheat. He was a thief. He stole from his own people. But he goes to the house to have dinner with Zacchaeus. And after Zacchaeus is around Jesus and hearing Jesus and knowing, getting to know Jesus, this is what he does. He stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. He's had a change of mind about who he is. He's had a change of mind about his sin and his thieving, his materialism. And it's all been about him. His mind has been changed after he's been around Jesus. He's repenting. He's truly believing. He has faith because it's causing action. What does Jesus say? Today. Salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus was saved at dinner. He didn't say a sinner's prayer. He didn't fall down and get baptized and all. His mind was changed. But it was such a strong belief, it affected him at his moral center, and he wanted to turn from his sin. He wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God. So, he was saved. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was lost before dinner. And after dinner, he's saved. Because he truly believed. God looks at the heart. He says, many people speak of me with their mouths, but their heart is from me. But when a mind really understands the truth, and the Holy Spirit brings the conviction, and we see ourselves for who we really are, and the sin, and the nastiness, and we change our mind about sin, and want to turn from it, we're morally convicted before the Lord. Whoever wants to believe, let him repent and believe. One more. Thief on the cross. We know in Matthew chapter 27, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him. Two men were crucified on the other side of Jesus. And they both were reviling him and hating him. But we know in the Gospel of John, something changed in one of them. I mean, not the Gospel of John, Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He used, on the cross, at first he was reviling Jesus, but something's changed in this man. He's seen Jesus. He's seen Jesus say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. His mind has been changed about himself. He sees his sin. He knows he deserves this. But this man has done nothing wrong. He was reviling Christ like all of us have in our lives. We may not have said it, but we lived it in rebellion and sin. We were reviling Christ. We were spitting on Christ. We did not believe. This man did not believe, but now he believes. Why? His mind has been changed about his sin. His mind's been changed about Jesus, the man he used to revile. Because now he defends Jesus. But this man has done nothing wrong. The first Christian apologist giving a defense for Jesus Christ. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Don't save me. He's so humble. Just remember me, Lord. He needs, remember me, Lord. And what does Jesus say to him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. You see, when we truly believe, it changes everything about us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old is gone. He, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Some of your translations say gone. Why are we new creations? Our minds have been changed. We think differently about ourselves, about sin, and about Jesus. Our hearts have been changed by the Holy Spirit when we are born again. Now the Holy Spirit can set about sanctification, and we become new creations in Christ. Has your belief in Jesus really changed you? You need to ask yourself this. Are you a different person now than you were before? Not that you may know. You may know more because you've been in a church and we teach the Bible here. We teach good here. You may have grown in knowledge, but have you really changed? Has your attitude changed towards your sin in your life? Has your attitude changed towards Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Has your heart changed about obeying Christ and honoring Christ? Has your life changed about being the church? Not attending church, not trying to do some good religious stuff, but being the church. Has your mind changed about being salt and light out there? Has your life changed? Has your mind changed? This only happens when we're truly born again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, she cannot see the kingdom of God." You're a new creation in Christ. You must be born again. How do you born again? You truly believe. How do you know you believe? Because your mind, there's this moral conviction to what you believe about yourself and about Jesus Christ. And it causes a guilt, a compunction, where you want to turn and you want to live for Christ. That's true belief. You can have dead faith. I had it for years. You can have demonic faith. Or you'll be in church. You might even like the worship. There's a lot of people that really... It's a fad going across the United States. They need the big worship. They need the big auditorium. They need the big cool band, the smoke. They need the atmosphere. They need the emotion. They need that so they can feel like they really believe. Because those things orchestrate emotions. But see, when you truly believe, you can sing with a washboard and a harmonica. It doesn't matter what you sing and how you sing it. It's just your singing, because it's not about the music. It's about the words and who you're singing to. But you see, people who don't really believe, they need to feel. Church needs to orchestrate the emotion so they can feel God. But they don't know Him. I don't mean to get loud. It breaks my heart to know how many people, many will say to Him on that day, "Lord, Lord," because pastors didn't preach the truth. Churches were too lame and soft, and people weren't taught the truth. And they're going to die in their sins. There's only one way to Jesus Christ. And it's not being a Baptist, it's not being a Methodist, but it's being a Bible believer. And not false stuff like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or Catholicism or the Signs and Wonders crowd. It's simple, basic, repent, sinner, and be born again. Sorry. How does a person know they truly believe in Jesus? Come on up, team. Let me just say this. Your mind changed upon hearing the gospel. It changed about yourself. You don't see yourself as a good person anymore. You see yourself for who you really are. Sees past the religious outfit that you have on the outside. You change your mind about who you are, your sin, Jesus Christ. Your mind changes. You have a true guilt about sin, and you don't want to have guilt anymore. We'll still have guilt and sin. That's why we need grace every day. But I don't live and practice the sin I used to. I changed my mind on who I used to be. Now I walk this way by God's grace. your mind has changed about Jesus. Or once he didn't really matter to you. Oh, you could believe in him and it was nice to have him, but he always took the back seat, if not the back of the bus for you. Now you want to follow him. You don't want to be driving with Jesus as your co-pilot. You want Jesus as the pilot, as the driver. You want to follow him in his teachings. You want to obey him and you want to honor him. That's how you know you truly believe. Your mind has changed about the church. You want to be the church and you want to be here with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You just want to. I never wanted to go to church in my entire life until I was truly born again at age 28, even though I grew up in the church. I didn't want to be in church ever. All of a sudden, after being born again, I wanted to go to church, and that was weird. That was really weird to feel. I'm like, what? I wanted to be in church. I wanted to be around my brothers and sisters. I wanted to take part in the church and its mission. I understood that as a Marine. I was now part of a church who had a mission. I want to be on mission. You truly want to be part of Team Jesus. Your mind has changed about the Bible. I never wanted to read the Bible. Now I wanted to read the Bible. That was also weird. You want to obey it. You want to learn it. You want to be taught it. So you come to be taught and read it yourself. Your mind has changed about sharing Jesus. Before you probably wouldn't share Jesus. You might use his name in vain out there in the world, but you're not going to share him. But now you want to share Jesus at any cost. Well, that's you truly believe. Your life is now different. You are different. You are not the same person. Jesus has not only saved you, but he has changed you. Your faith, your belief is real because you have been changed. Starting with the mind, to the heart, to the life. That's what it means to really be saved and to walk with Jesus. And I pray everyone in here, anyone who might hear this sermon later, understands it's never too late to get right with God, to truly believe. And if you believe, you don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be on this path that is different than it was before. And now you're seeking. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that my message has come across clearly and in love. I know I got loud a few times, and I don't ever mean to turn anybody away by getting loud. So, Lord, I pray that this message will go out in the intent that it was given, so that anyone who falsely believes will know what it means to believe. Because that's what you want. You're patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the only way we can come to repentance is if we truly believe. So Lord, I ask you to help us. If there's anyone in here who doesn't truly believe, that their eyes will be open. The Holy Spirit will convict them, and they will humble themselves before you. I want to see every one of these people in heaven one day. I pray this in the name above every name, and the only name given to us that we might be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up. We'll sing. We're going to go over a few minutes. I do apologize, but here we go.
Obsession with the faintest pulses make us happy. Can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now I'm running free into an ocean of mercy. I'm ending. was chasing after. Throw off these heavy chains that I am, let become my master.
And your grace this morning. Let me go over a few minutes. All right, Team Jesus, we've got to go out in the world. We understand what it means to believe, hopefully, and we can go share it with people, because a lot of people do not understand. They falsely believe, and they're heading towards judgment. And we are sent to be the beautiful feet that help people find salvation. We're just beggars who found the bread, and now we're going to take that bread to other beggars. Help us. Help us, all of us. Let's help each other in this. It takes all of us. So let's go be his team this week. Look for those opportunities. Be salt and light wherever you go. If there's someone in here who doesn't know if you truly believe, please come see me this week. Come talk to me. Call me. Come in. I do love you very much. I do love you guys. Let's break out of here and count on three. It's football season. That's good, right? Nice and loud, because we're motivated. Count of three. One, two, three. Right. Let's go.